I'm ready, ready. I'm ready, ready. I'm ready, ready. I stay ready. Hey, I'm ready, ready.
Yes, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Listen, we are over here in the Jesus worship mode because we are bringing forth the Jesus mode part two. I have something to teach you today as the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about our new journey together. I'm excited about the fact that we are here and we're going to develop our kingdom nature, that we are putting our Adamic self to rest, that we are putting our Adamic self to death, that we are putting our Adamic mind to death, that we are taking out this heart of stone and we are welcoming the heart of flesh. Listen, we're going to walk together through this. Why? Because we have to begin to govern ourselves and govern our responses based on our identity and our obedience to Jesus the Christ. Listen, we must be found in Jesus the Christ. Everything about us must be rooted in Jesus the Christ. And as you guys have discovered, what I like to call this is the Jesus mold. So welcome to the Jesus mold part two. I want you to remember something that I made a statement in Jesus mold part one. And that statement is simply, Jesus is a leader of the wheat and not the tear. I want you to hold fast to that thought process. Because from day to day, you have to make a decision if you are the wheat or if you are the tear. Scripture already tells us that they're raised up together, that they grow up together. But there are distinctions and distinguishes and markers that let Jesus know what? I am the tear, come and get me. Or I am the wheat, come and get me. Either way, both already have a destination and a destiny. The truth of the matter is, what will we choose from day to day? As much as we love to say, choose ye this day whom you will serve, the reality is that has to become just that, a reality. We can't just keep saying scriptures, repeating scriptures, but lack in the performance, the development, and the execution of scripture. Now, because we're actually given the counterpart to what? Well, you could say that. No, our sentiments, right? So now we're giving the way that we should rule, right? Because the whole last 4 weeks or 5 weeks was how we were ruling through our sentiments. But I need you to remember and understand that there is, excuse me, only one type of kingdom sentiment. And that response is the Jesus mold. The Jesus mold is always led by God, is always obedient to God, and is always obligated to God. Come on here. Obedience marks sonship. And obedience marks salvation. That should be your governmental sentiment. That should be how you rule yourself. And the fact that we want to go from day to day in our sentiments is a whole problem. That's not the Jesus mold. So this teaching is designed now to flip you into Jesus mold, to take you out of your Adamic soul, your Adamic nature, your Adamic mind, your Adamic salvation. Can we say that? That you had an Adamic salvation and that now you're beginning to realize, wait a minute, as many of you say, I don't think I was saved. I think I'm now coming into salvation. Absolutely, because salvation can only come if the truth is preached, if the truth is taught. And we all know that there are counterfeits out here. We all know that the gospel has been hacked by liars. Listen, it's the truth. Or let me say it like this, because that's not actually true. Because you cannot hack the Holy Ghost. You can't hack the true gospel. Let me say it like this. There's a false gospel that has been gone, that has gone forth. And it's hacking the souls of the saints that want to be found in Jesus Christ. Let me say it like that. But instead of being found in the ecclesia, they're being found in church. I'm still, excuse me, standing on the fact that your heart posture towards Jesus and towards God has to be love what he loves. Your obedient mind posture still has to be hate what he hates. Right? Your obligated spirit and will posture still has to be lean not to your own understanding. I'm going to keep saying this until you decide that you're going to repeat this and hold fast to this and make this a part of your everyday life decisions. The reason why it's difficult to stay saved, well, one, to get saved and then maintain your salvation is because if you're very honest with yourself, you still love what he hates. And you still hate what he loves. Come on. In some place in there, your sentiments are ruling. In some place in there, you're leaning to your own understanding. Some place in there, there's a lack of truth about some things, right? And so these teachings are designed to bring you closer to truth, not about your neighbor, but about yourself, right? Because one thing I believe here at Rain Embassy is that we have to work on our own soul salvation, not our neighbors. We have to take this in for ourselves and learn for ourselves so that we can go forward. Right? So according to John 5 and 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I need you to remember that there is no new gospel. There is no new form. There is no new anything. Scripture already tells us there's actually nothing new under the sun. So even the information that I bring from day to day, it's not new. It just may be new to you. Don't think that anything that is done is new. Well, this is the problem, because we have so many people putting themselves up on a pedestal and saying that they are the fathers of this and the fathers of that and the mothers of this and the mothers of that. Now, let's just give Jesus the credit. Let's just give the Holy Ghost the credit. Let's just say that we've decided to give up our lives to a certain measure that the Holy Ghost could live inside of us and produce through us. Let's do that. Let's get back to scripture. Let's get back to the life of Jesus Christ, because Jesus didn't take anything upon himself. He repeats over and over and over again, well, what you see me do, I only do it because I've seen my Father do it. All right. There's nothing new. Nothing new under the sun. I need you to remember that. So one of the things that we were able to do is that we were able to go into the Jesus mold. And what was the Jesus mold? What was the heart posture of the Jesus mold, right? Because we're going to, by the end of this teaching, God willing, and I think he will, we're going to be able to deal with the heart posture, the obedient mind, and the obligated spirit and will. Those are the three things we're going to be able to tackle, right? But the first thing we have to deal with is, if you're going to operate in the kingdom and in the Jesus mold, the first thing you have to do is look at your heart posture. Because Jesus never made a decision from pity, from public pressure, or personal pain. Remember, I taught you that. He obeyed the Father even when it caused division, even when it caused pain, even when it caused rejection. He obeyed the Father. And the question on the plate today is, can you, will you, or will you, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, God, I don't want to say that. Oh, God, that's going to cause this. Do you understand? Are you always giving God your sentiment regarding a situation that he has asked you to execute? Because Jesus' posture was to be led by his Father, not by himself, not by his sentiments, not by the culture. Listen, he could have did everything that a carpenter does, couldn't he? That was the culture. He was born into a family of carpenters. But he did not just adhere to that identity. Jesus already showed us how to be in the world, but not of the world. Come on here. Think about this. Think about it. The testimony of Jesus Christ was all about him testifying about how he's fulfilling the word of the prophets. How he is here showing up and doing an eternal job. You don't see a lot of scripture talking about his job, his natural job as a carpenter. Oh, come on here. Come on here. So why do we fill ourselves up from day to day with our natural desires, our natural woes, our natural disappointments, our natural this, our natural that, and we don't fill ourselves up with our eternal identity and our eternal purpose and our eternal destiny? Jesus' heart posture was to be led by his Father, not by himself. His heart posture was to advance according to his Father, to follow the blueprint of his Father, to follow the pattern of his Father, to follow the template of his Father. Come on here. To behold his Father, to admire his Father, to glorify his Father, to leave evidence of his Father. That's so important. What evidence are you leaving from day to day to safeguard his Father's reputation? What are we doing? To galvanize his Father's world. Is that your heart posture? To coordinate his Father's world, to preside over his Father's world, to spearhead his Father's world. Is that what you are doing from day to day? Is that your thought process to serve his Father's kingdom and citizens? Or are you always at war with his kingdom and his citizens? Are you always in disagreement with his kingdom and his citizens and his leaders? Are you always the one? Are you always trying to lay down your own law, your own system, your own form? But I left you with this, and this is where we will go today. Jesus was here to shepherd his Father's kingdom in his Father's citizens. I need you to remember the term shepherd is used to refer to Jesus in the scripture about 16 times in the New Testament. And during that time, if you read, especially in John chapter 10, he's called the good shepherd. Matter of fact, let's go ahead to John 10 and let's look at that. I'm having somebody pull up the Common English Bible just for the sake of understanding. But I do recommend highly for you to read the King James. Version. Anybody have it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Speak up then.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber.
Which version are you reading?
I'm in English Standard Version.
Okay. I want the CEB, the Common English Bible.
All right. John
10. Louder. That's okay. That's good.
Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. I'm sorry, it's not the coming.
It's not. I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate, but climbs over the wall, is a thief and an outlaw. Now, if you remember earlier on, right, the lies we tell, the truth we elude, right? I talked about being a thief. I talked about being an outlaw in the kingdom. Now, Jesus is talking about it right here, right? And this is in regards to his sheep, right? Because at the beginning and the end of the day, it's all about the sheep. It's all about his people. And we can try and make it about ourselves, and that's the problem. We make ministry about ourselves, and we don't make it about the whole point. The whole point is leading his sheep into healthy pasture, like he did. Oh, come on. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. He's already given definition. He's already letting us know that there are some that will rob you. They are thieves and they are outlaws because they did not come in by him. They did not come to preach the gospel. They did not come to teach you of him. They came for their own want and their own desire. Come on, I'm about to destroy these lying leaders that are saying that they are teaching and preaching the gospel for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you're not. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate for him. Jesus opens the gate for him. And the sheep listen to his voice. Come on here. But here's the question. Here's the question. Are you deserving of a good shepherd? Because there's a description here. And we have to clear it up. We can't just put leaders on blast and not put the sheep on blast. Because I already said Jesus did nothing unto himself. And he made it clear that he only did what he saw and he only repeated what he heard. How about you? How about you? Because it says the sheep listen to his voice. The sheep listen to the one that the guard, what? Opened up the gate for. The sheep is not listening to every voice. It is not going around. Bah, bah, bah. Are you my mother? Do y'all remember that? Y'all remember that little tale, right? Are you my mother? Right. They're not doing that. The sheep are like, ah, that's a strange voice, and I'm not following that. I'll stand still first. All right. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is one of the reasons why I'm not a huge fan of saying everyone is my sheep. You may follow the ministry, but it doesn't necessarily make you my sheep because I don't even know your name. I don't know you. And with that being said, I don't know if I'm leading you out. I can't say that you're my mentee. Because I have no record of where you started and where you're going to end and what's been transpired. Do you understand? I'm a good shepherd too. I have a pattern. And it's patterned after Jesus the Christ. And I make people feel uncomfortable. Because, yeah, I'm in their business. I'm in their life. I'm a part of their life. Why? I have a responsibility. Because let me let you know, those sheep could not be guarded or protected afar. How is that possible? Don't know where the sheep are out in the pasture. Don't know what terrains they've been wandering in. Come on here, let's be honest. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them and they follow him because they know his voice. Are you a follower? Are you a follower? Because you know the voice. Because you have ears to hear. Or are you a defender of your own soul and your own recklessness? Of your own sentiments, of your own values? We got to look at the heart posture through the scripture, not through our own desires. Are you following me?
Yes.
They won't follow a stranger, but will run away because they don't know the stranger's voice. Stranger danger, stranger danger, stranger danger. Well, here's the problem. I have to use this because we're so grown and we want to take natural things. Just because the world says that you're grown at 18 and kick you out and say, you know, go out and fend for yourself, it doesn't mean that in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ that he ever concludes that you're grown. And on your own. He may conclude that you have matured enough, that you can handle weightier assignments, that you can occupy an office. But it is never ever to go out on your own and do your own thing. Hear me and hear me well. The heart posture, the Jesus mold, is not an individualized plan that's all about itself and produces itself. The Jesus mold follows the blueprint of eternity. The Jesus mold follows the blueprint of its leader, God the Father. The Jesus mold produces from that same blueprint over and over and over and over and over again. No matter the person, no matter the planet, no matter the plan. Yeah, I said planet. Because we think we're the only ones. Those who heard Jesus use this analogy didn't understand what he was saying. Listen, they didn't understand what he was saying to them. They were still lost. They had no comprehension. But the problem is, how are we in 2025 and we have the Holy Ghost now and we still are lost and have no comprehension? Don't you think that's a little off? That we can have this many people saying that they're Christians and they're following false leaders in Christ, that they're literally slaughtering themselves, that they choose to slaughter themselves. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I told you, he leads the wheat and not the tare. I told you that. Jesus is spending his time on the wheat. Those who know how to follow. The wheat knows how to surrender. It bows to the truth. It bows to the Holy Spirit. It bows to wisdom. It bows to eternity. Listen to me. But the tear raises itself up and stands up and says that it is strong and says that it does not need any understanding because its own understanding is enough. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to stand strong. I am not going to humble myself. I am going to be the proud. Listen, the tare already has its future sewn up. But I am ministering to the wheat today. And I have one question before you. Who is your leader? Who are you following? What voice do you entertain? I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. This is why I'm sure that I build living epistles. This is why Rain Embassy stands on this one fact. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Why? Because I have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of eternity to lead you into all truth. Not to lead you into a delusion, not to lead you into a lie, not to lead you into your own self. I have an obligation to lead you into all truth about your very soul that needs to be set free. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So over here at Rain Embassy, we only have one desire, and that's for you to be saved. That's why I say on every teaching, I'm here to help you work out your soul salvation. Don't worry about your neighbor's splinter. Deal with your own plank. I say this over and over and over again. You're only here because you want to be saved. Because I'm not giving you any fluff and any candy to keep you sucking on your thumb and making you feel good. They will come in and go out and find pasture. They will come in and go out and find pasture. They will go out and find health. They will go out and find good food. I give you some good food to eat. I don't send you out to do anything and to chew on anything and to go anywhere. I give you something good for your very soul to work out. Because after all, this salvation has to be worked out in your soul. It can't be worked out in your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. You have to get a new heart. But your soul has to be worked out. It has to. And it has to be worked out, what? With fear and trembling. Well, if you listen to my teachings, I'm always telling you what you should fear and what should cause you to tremble. Why? Because the Lord thy God, he's true and he's still living. And he's still rendering verdicts. There are still judgments going forth on all of what we do. None of us will escape that. And I know that the false gospel that has gone forth lets you know, tells you that you can do whatever you want and that there is no hell. That there's no need to correct whatever's going on in your soul. Just let everything rumbling around in your soul happen. So you can be a boy, you can be a girl, you can be a them, you can be a thou, now you can be an animal. It is getting crazier and crazier. That is only because there's a false gospel being preached. Because you can't be found in truth and live that way or think that way. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. How many times do I say this to you? How many times do I let you know the importance of fighting for your inheritance and holding on to your inheritance? Because the thief is always after you. I'm not raising you up and sending you out to be slaughtered. I'm raising you up and sending you out into good pastures. That means that where you go, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world, that you can operate like Jesus the Christ, that you are not overtaken by the things of this world because you have truth in your inward parts. And the problem with the body of Christ today is that it does not desire truth. It is always in its sentiments. It is always in its feelings. It is always in its wants. It is always in its desires. And it does not even hear. the good shepherd. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only reason why the enemy is inside of the four walls of the church. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I come so that they could have life. Indeed. Life indeed. King James Version says what? But I come for you to have life and life more abundantly. These are total polar opposites. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what one voice will get you. Or life and life more abundantly. That's what the other voice will get you. And Jesus the Christ is clear. He's a good shepherd. He's not a thieving shepherd, and he's not an outlaw shepherd. Come on here. We have some decisions to make. I come so that they could have life indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. What is living life to the fullest? Having the mind of Christ, having a heart of flesh, working your soul salvation out, being able to keep up with Jesus the Christ, being able to have a prayer life and a communication system with Jesus the Christ, with the Holy Ghost and with God the Father, and being the fourth person of the Godhead, being able to walk on this earth as he is, so are we in this world. That is the fullest. And the problem is we haven't even gotten to life. So how can you even think that you're in abundance when from day to day you're having a difficult time following the voice that will save you? And what we want to do as the body of Christ is say that the abundance is houses and cars. No, it's not, because there are no houses or cars in eternity. You don't need houses and cars because you're a spirit. So this has everything to do with your spiritual being and your soul and where it's going to land. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And shepherds of today are supposed to lead like Jesus. They're supposed to guard their flock. They're supposed to keep their flock. They're supposed to train their flock to remain in safety, to remain in good pastures when they are with them or when they are not. They are supposed to be able to live the life of Jesus Christ accordingly. Come on here. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Jesus himself proclaimed and declared and let everybody, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Come on here. But how do you feel about that? Where are you at on that? Because he's clear with his identity. I think the question that we have to ask today, are you the good sheep? Because we love to talk about what Jesus is, and we hate to talk about what we are. But he already declared what a good sheep looked like. They listen. They follow. When he goes before them, they rise up and go right on behind him. They're not, oh, I don't feel like it today. Come on. I ain't there, you know. Well, maybe tomorrow. Options. He doesn't talk about this optional sheephood. Oh, come on today. Come on here. Optional sheephood. Can't keep in step. Why? Because you always got options. You always looking to be the create, you know, the creative, the creator. You always looking to enforce your will, your way, your insight. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How many leaders are laying down their life for their sheep? I know I lay mine down because, man, we be over here. Like, who winning? Is Jesus winning? See, they done. Because I be like, thank God I'm not involved, because if I was involved, I wouldn't be doing it God's way. It's just the truth. But when you decide to do it in the Jesus mode, it's not about you. Ministry is not about you. On either side, as a shepherd or as a sheep, ministry is about Jesus the Christ. In continuing what? His life. My job is to lead you into all truth and to help you to understand how your Adamic nature is designed to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's my job. My job is to help you to see how you are killing, stealing, and destroying yourself. What do you think all of the lies we tell and the truth we elude is all about? It's the foundation of you understanding that your sentiments are guarding you from entering in. And Jesus can't let you in on the path because your sentiments are before him. Your sentiments are ever before him. You're always telling him about how you feel and never showing him what you're willing to do. Jesus, help us today. I'm moving slow, but I think this thing is a mighty word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When the hired hands sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. Did y'all hear that? The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He will guard the sheep. He will run in the fire, fourth man in the fire. He will go to hell. His whole design is, we might be here right now, but trust and believe, we coming out. I'm the fourth man in the fire. You ain't dying right now. You might feel like it, but we coming out. Oh, come on here. Maybe you'll understand tomorrow. But when the hired hand, when the outlaw, when the thief sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's those leaders who it's all about them. They saw that the wolf was about to tear you up, and they had no insight. They had no sound advice. They could not lead you out. And so you know what they did? They said they did not have time to talk to you about those issues. You know what they said? They gave you a book to read or somebody else's word, or they gave you some other analogy of something, or they said that that's not what's really happening. Oh, come on here. This is what's happening from day to day. You're okay. Jesus had lust too. Jesus had a girlfriend. Jesus slept around. This is where this doctrine comes from. These are wolves. These are hired hands, hirelings, is what the King James Version calls them. When the hired hands see the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. The hired hand preserves its own life. It will never preserve the life of a sheep. or the sheep. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The hired hand is not a shepherd. The hired hand is not going to care to that death. The hired hand is not going to lay itself down. The hired hand is going to always raise itself up. It's always going to shape shift. It's always going to open up another shop. It's always going to find another cell. And it's always going to find another sheep to slaughter. Because it's murderous. It's a murderous spirit. That's why scripture already told us. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. After they steal everything from you, they're going to kill you. And after they kill your spirit, they're going to destroy you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to say you wasn't what you said that you was. Trust me, it's a game. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his. That's why they don't care. They know that you don't belong to them. That's why they only want your money. They only want your talent. They're okay with your charisma. And they have no interest in helping you to become holy. They have no interest in helping you to become whole. And they have no interest in helping you to become as Christ. You can stay there and you can do whatever you want, however you want, for as long as you want. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. And this is why the body of Christ looks the way that it looks. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's only a hired hand and the sheep don't matter to him. But once again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. There's a level of intimacy. There's a level of knowing. How can we even be in relationship? How can I even lead you and guide you and I don't know you? So this is for the sheep who want to profess to be a sheep or proclaim to be a sheep, but they don't want to be known. You can't touch, you know, their scars. You can't touch their hurt places. They don't want to have conversation. They don't want to be developed. They don't want to be delivered. They don't want to be healed. But scripture is already saying that you're a tear. I don't know what else to tell you. Why? Because Jesus is the ultimate example. And listen, the only reason why I say this and I stand on this, the only reason why God the Father could look away when Jesus said, but Father, if you could take this from me, the only way they could have that kind of dialogue is because they have been in many wars and battles together. That there has been many practicing that Jesus would be the one to come through, that he would always execute according to his Father over and over and over and over again. And I say this even to my very own sheep. Listen, you have an opportunity to show how you're going to execute. I'm watching how you execute. I'm watching how you produce. Listen, you just produced from your sentiment, not from governance. I do this in my own house over and over and over again for my sheep to understand when they're listening to their soul and not listening to the word of the Lord or the scripture or me as their leader. God the Father knew he could turn and that Jesus the Son would say, nevertheless. That wasn't new to Jesus. Nevertheless, it was not new. And it doesn't matter how many times you've been in the fire with the Lord Jesus Christ and he's delivered you and brought you out, you still don't have a nevertheless. You still approach everything as if it's the first time you've been on the battlefield. And you want us to believe that you are a son. that you are sheep. You're not our sheep. You're your own. Because everything has a pattern. And the pattern of Jesus the Christ is, I do only what I see my Father do. I speak only the words that I heard my Father say. I am not here making anything up nor speaking on my own behalf about how I have now processed the information and what I want you to understand based off of what I think the Father has said. We're done. Oh, come on here today. Because we do this from day to day and we want to say that our lives are hidden in Christ, but it's only one way for your life to be hidden in Christ. And that is for you to become as he is in this world. And so if that is not your professional prowess every day, if that is not what you wake up to pursue every day, then the verdict is still out. Or should I say you've already rendered the verdict on your own life? I'm just still working with the Jesus mode. And I'm working with starting off as Jesus being a good shepherd. But also a part of Jesus being a good shepherd is that he has good sheep. Which I'm still connecting to the fact that I said from the jump, what? Jesus leads the wheat and not the tear. You got to remember that from day to day, from second to second. He's not leading you. The tear leads itself. The tear is full of itself. The tear is full of pride. And pride goes before. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. I love when people say that they know me because I love to prove just how much they don't know me. Because you'd be amazed at how many people want to associate themselves with you and they don't even know you. They've taken no time to spend with you. Every time you're in their presence, it's all about them. It's not about you. So they're actually, essentially, they don't want to hear from you. They don't want to learn from you. They just want to say that what? They know you. I have other sheep. I am, let me go back to 14. I am the good shepherd. Jesus pronounced this again. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. This is a relationship. Remember, I told you relationships are important to the king. That this is a relational kingdom. And this is for all of you who want to be all by yourself. This is for all of you who just keep professing and proclaiming, I don't really like people. I don't like to be a part of things. That's because you are not of the Father. Relational, relational, relational. How can you rule anything and you can't relate to anything? How can you be the leader of anything and you can't relate to anything? Then what are you leading? That is that thief and that outlaw. You are a thief and an outlaw that just want to raise yourself up. Because you don't have the interest of God the Father or Jesus the Son. You're not being led by the Holy Spirit. You're being led by another spirit. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep. I give up my life for the sheep. I give up my life for the sheep. This is for those of you that can't give anything up. It's always about you and you being on top and you coming out on top and you winning. You can't never put yourself down. But scripture even told us that Jesus himself had to go down. He had to descend before he ascended. That's scripture. I'm telling you, the tear is always standing or is fighting to stand. It can't go down. It's not going to put anything before it. And when I say anything, I'm talking about anything that it cares about. Mm-mm. If it cares about something, it's going to keep that. It's not going to make sure that it's raised up, that it's set free. It's not going to do any of that. It's going to choke it. Mine, 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 mine. I was telling somebody about Welcome to Grouchland. Elmo goes to Grouchland. And it's this character in there. I forget his name. What's his name? Telly or something. But look, this little character, he's going around terrorizing everybody. This is one of the movies I allowed my daughter to watch growing up when she was a kid. But this character goes around and it tortures everybody in Grouchland. It's taking the dolls, it's taking the blankies, it's taking the passies. I mean, just going from city to city. Grouchland has cities. Going from borough to borough, I don't know. But the whole thing is when this character shows up, he takes it, whatever he wants. And he says, mine, 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 right? And you know, Elmo loves his blankie. So Elmo is hot about this character taking his blankie. And so Elmo is like David in here. Elmo's the one that he gonna raise up. Cause everybody's afraid of this, whatever his name is. I can't think of his name. Everybody's afraid of won't stand up to him. And Elmo's like, but he has my blankie. And the dude is like, but it's mine. And Elmo's like, it's mine. He's like, it's mine. No, it's mine. Elmo is raising up. Because that's his blanket. But that other one, mine, the destroyer, right? He don't know he's about to go down. He don't know that he's about to lose. It's going to be the first battle that he loses. And everything, is the thing that's funny is because Elmo is finally saying, that's my blanket. Everybody else is now working on the low to help Elmo get his blanket back. I don't know why we're going here, but I think you can understand. At some point, you have to make a decision, right? If you are willing to die for that life and life more abundant, or are you willing to live and just say, mine, 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 mine? This is all in you. These are all choices within oneself. Oh, come on here. Are you going to be the one to rise up against your own Adamic nature and say, no, I am a sheep and another I truly will not follow? No, I know the voice of the Lord. I've been with the Lord. He's been with me. He's proven himself to be a good shepherd, but I've not proven myself to be a good sheep. And he deserves my testimony that he's a good shepherd and he's still shepherding me, that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding on my behalf, that he will certainly finish what he has started in me. Are you paving the way for that kind of relationship? Or are you just mine, my want, my desire, my thirst, my hunger? And none of it is benefiting the Lord thy God. Are you the one unwilling to lay your life down to make sure that what Jesus must have done on the earth is getting done? I just have to pose that to you. I'm the good shepherd and I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen. I must lead them I have other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen. I must lead them too. Ah, this is for those who don't want anybody else to come in. But Jesus is saying, wait a minute, I belong to you. You are my sheep. I am shepherding you. But I also have others that do not belong to this here place right now. But it doesn't mean that I'm not called to even more. So Jesus is letting us know he's accountable to all that belong to him. And that he will lead them too. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. So essentially, that's my, you know, online members, right? We can bring it down to, we have sheep in the house, and then we have online members. But they online only because of proximity. But they're not online and going from service to service to service to service. Listen, because we have a lot of that going on. You're so full of so many different leaders that you no longer have clear discernment. You're not even pure. Because when you listen to a lot of people, you don't know what they're dibbling and dabbling in and doing. But Jesus is saying one thing right here. At the end of the day, it's all about having one leader, one flock. That means that they're learning the same thing, they're responding the same way, and they're producing from the same one spirit, which is God the Father, which Jesus the Son came and walked the earth, and then he left the Holy Spirit, and now he has his holy leaders in place. But no matter where we are, we should be able to track this ministry back to God the Father, Jesus the Christ, led by the Holy Spirit. And we cannot say that that is every ministry on the face of the earth today. They are not tracking back to God the Father. They are not rooted in truth. They are rooted in sentiments and scattering the sheep. This is why the Father loves me. Come on here, listen to this. Jesus is all that. And he has every right to brag and boast. He has every right to declare why the Father loves him. This is why the Father loves me. I give up my life so that I can take it up again. I'm willing to die for the sheep, knowing that I can raise myself back up again. Come on here. Is that you? Read your scripture, read your scripture, read your scripture, read your scripture so that you can get the right fight. So that you can have the right mind. So that you can have the right heart posture. Come on here. This is why the Father loves me. The Father loves Jesus because he can trust him. Jesus understands he's in a trusted, valued position, and he doesn't just fail the Father. He lays his life down over and over and over again for them. Is that you? Or are you still working to keep your life from day to day? Is all about you. What you want, what you need, what you like, what you desire. And it's never about God the Father. It's never about his sheep. It's never about their health. It's never about their soul's prosper. It's all about your pockets prospering. It's all about your numbers prospering. It's all about your Facebook lives having viewers. It's all about everything but the mere fact that you have been called to occupy a trusted, valued position to safeguard the king's sheep, and you can put yourself down to do it, starting off with safeguarding you as the king's sheep. Are you a good shepherd over your own life? Is your life hidden in Jesus Christ? Can you put yourself down? Can you minister to yourself? Can you help yourself according to his will, according to his word, according to his way? Because Jesus did not do it alone. He did what he saw his Father do. And I'm asking you from day to day, what are you doing? This is why the Father loves me. I give up my life so that I can take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I give it up because I want to. Come on here. King James Version says, no man can take my life. I lay my life down. Do you not know who you are? Do you not know what you could do? Do you not know how you could be the answer to so many of the problems in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory? But the problem is, you want his glory. You want it to be about you. And that's why you can't lay your life down. And that's why he has not endowed you with the power to raise yourself up. Because that's a blessing. That's an eternal blessing. That's an eternal marker of sonship. I do some difficult things. I go to some difficult places, but I walk in knowing you may kill me, but guess who's going to win? I'm going to come up with the keys, and me and Jesus Christ, we're going to reign. And you're going to know that you encountered Jesus the Christ, because I will not respond like a mere mortal. I will not respond like man, but I will respond like the king that I am. And if it boils down to me or you, it will be me. Why? Because I belong to the king. And I'm not laying down. And no man can take my life unless I lay it down. So I will destroy you before I allow you to destroy me, because I understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I understand that there are whole principalities that are designed to kill, steal, and destroy me. And I am not unaware. I am very aware. And I have every right to defend myself. I have every right to preserve my life in Jesus Christ. I have every right to do what I have to do, that Jesus the Christ gets the testimony and the glory from my life and not man. And so with that being said, I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it up again. I received this commandment from my Father. Who is your Father? Who is your Father? Because your life is telling who your Father is. My God did not give me the spirit of fear, nor did he give me the spirit of anxiety. I am sound, and I can make sound decisions. And I do have a lot of love that covers a multitude of sin for my sheep, for them to make it out. Find them in great pastures. Find them in healthy pastures. Why? Because I war for them, I contend for them, and I war with them. There was another division among the Jews because of Jesus' word. Many of them said, he has a demon and has lost his mind. Why listen to him? Others said, these aren't the words of someone who has a demon. Can a demon heal the eyes of people who are blind? I know from day to day, I heal your eyes. I know my messages are designed to not only heal your eyes, but to heal your ears and to heal your very nefesh, your very soul. And so I just admonish you to go back to rewatch this message today, because this is all about the heart posture of Jesus the Christ. This is all about the heart posture of a good shepherd. This is all about the heart posture of good sheep. And you have to find yourself in this, because one thing that I teach here is what? If you are in the kingdom, you are a leader. God only raises up leaders. He doesn't need to raise you up to be a commoner. You are a whole king. And so as you go through, or as we go through this process, which it will be a process, because we're going to have to finish this. The Jesus mold is a way of living like Jesus the Christ, with a heart postured towards the King, and with a heart that what? Goes whichever way he will. This is a journey. Like I said at the beginning, I am here to develop your kingdom nature, not your Adamic nature. And we will walk this together so that what? Your responses are rooted in obedience and your identity in eternity. I like to call this the Jesus mold. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins, and I'll see you next week for part 3. God bless you. And remember, as he is, so are we in this world.